Those listening out there had a chance to get out and see him yesterday. It was a great concert, David.
I
I gotta
enjoyed it.
say, we're glad you could make it into town. You and your whole band flew in from all over the country and
All over the world.
all over the world. Somebody was over in Europe or
Yeah,
something, right?
Dick Fitti was in Cyprus.
Boy. Well, it really was a great concert. Did you feel like you had a good time there and that
I
things
had a
went
really good time.
Well?
I was stoked. I got to tell you, I was ready.
That's good. Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of good response from people, hopefully with your album, which is new, by the way. I probably should mention that. It's called Bandit in a Bathing Suit. And you did a lot of music off that yesterday,
Yeah.
didn't you? In addition to a lot of your old standards like Sharon and Sweet Home Chicago, things like that. Is it any different playing to 30,000 people than it is to play to 500? Do you lose anything in the interaction between people's faces, or is it as much of a rush for you as it always is?
I think it's kind of like driving a higher-powered vehicle. You have to really be in more control of it, and its responses are more pronounced, you know. You got to plan ahead if you're going to turn a corner. Make sure that you get completely around that corner. And if you can take everybody with you, you know, it's a much bigger rush, but it takes more power and control to do it. I mean, not only within the sound system, but within your performance.
Do you feel you have to do things slower then so everybody gets it?
No. Oh, no. You just have to know what you're doing. Your timing has to be right, and everything you do has to be... has to be together.
And also maybe the fact that that some people can't see you, you know, real well. You probably have to make all of your music much more understandable from...
Well, hopefully it already is.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to be, I think, more precise, and it takes more energy from you to reach that many more people.
So the concert for Sharon was like a Maserati as opposed to a Toyota, right?
It really was, yeah. It was great for me. I've played in front of as many as... Well, I played for over 100,000 people
really?
At
Where
different festivals. Well, at the Isle of Wight and at Stompin' 76. But it was always as part of some very large festival. It's the first time where I played for that many people where I was one of the featured acts.
Yeah, who came to see you.
Yeah, so it was... It was a big kick for me. It really was.
So you do it again, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'd love it. I'll sign right now to do it next year.
Okay.
Okay.
We were talking a little bit earlier before this we started rolling the tapes about the expenses of bringing a band around with you all the time and possibilities of maybe not being able to do that in the future unless things get going. But and by going, I just mean... a little more successful for you in terms of, I guess, sales and stuff like that.
Well, that stuff is always improving a whole lot, but inflation is a killer. And also, with the band,
seven or eight guys?
I've got seven guys who are playing instruments. Then I've got two guys who are caring for the equipment, technicians, and one guy as a tour manager. Two people doing sound, two people doing lights, and usually a bus driver.
And they all have to eat.
They all have to eat. And also, once you start traveling, instead of by rental car, instead of by bus to rental car, and then instead of by rental car by plane, or instead of by plane by bus, those are all steps upwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rented bus is the most comfortable. It's pretty hard to go from the rental bus back to the rented car, or back to the Greyhound, or whatever. And once everybody gets a salary raise, you know, it's kind of hard to take a cut. All those things. And once you have two guys carrying equipment, it's pretty hard to cut back to one. And just expenses just keep going up incredibly. Inflation is a killer. It's just hard to do it. People think everybody who's got a record out is rich, you know. And I suppose I'm rich if you count wealth by debts, because you can't, you know, that's one of the ways to count it. You know.
Some Americans do that.
I've been allowed to borrow humongous sums of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, they may foreclose upon my future progeny or something.
Well, your album should help you out. I think it's a very strong album. I liked How Lately You Play Till, that double live studio album that you put out
a couple years ago.
Your last one was really good, but as far as sales, I don't think really happened for you as much as
I didn't like the one before this one. I like this one a whole lot, and it is doing much better in sales. I'm very encouraged by it. Actually, if it wasn't doing well, I couldn't have taken the chance of coming out here.
Yeah. Is there a lot of response around the country, not only here, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very, very much so. And it's getting an awful lot of airplay, and the sales are good, so, you know, it's good for me because I like the album. If all that was going on with the one before, I would have felt very mixed up because I didn't like the album.
Was there a conscious change that you went through after realizing that you didn't?
I just took more of the reins back in my own hands. I let other people take more control than I should have allowed in the last album, and the result was some things that didn't match my own particular tastes and so on. I'm like you. I like the new one, Bandit in a Bathing Suit, and the one that we're talking about that I didn't much like was the Reckless Abandon one. Mm-hmm. Although there's some things on there that are real good. I think a lot of my ambivalence towards it, though, has as much to do with the problems I had getting it done as with the final product. So you probably shouldn't listen to me too much when I complain about it. You know how that is. If you have trouble doing something, you kind of look at it sideways. But the How Lately You Play Till was real good, too. I like that one.
There's a lot of diversity. I mean, things on How Lately You Play Till and also, well, even Reckless Abandon. And I was glad to see on this newer one, Bandit in a Bathing Suit, that you weren't really sacrificing anything for what you wanted to do, because there's still a couple of nice fiddle reels on it, and there's some good rock and roll, good up-tempo music.
I'm just trying to learn to do it all better. You know, there's no finishing anything in this. I don't think I've done the best work I'm going to do. Although the songs on Bandit are, I think, the best I've been able to come up with for a while. Some of those tunes I've been working on for as many as 8 years. You know, ideas I had and songs in various stages of completion that I finally got. You know, I don't know if I'll ever have that much material of that quality assembled again. I think I'm real proud of my writing on it.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago when you were here, Jim Larkin, who used to be here on the air, did an interview with you live, and you came in with a guitar and played one of the songs on the album called Traveling Man, which I think at the time you described as one of your favorite ones to do on the radio, because the guy never knew when you were going to quit.
Oh, yeah, right? They always keep reaching for the knobs to bring up their own mic or cue a record or something. And I like to do it on the radio because just as the guy's fingers touch the knob, I start the next verse. Gets him real frustrated.
And I noticed yesterday when you did it in concert, just when everyone thought you were done and were clapping and yelling for more, you gave him more again. So we're going to hear that in a couple minutes, by the way, just to give people an idea of some of the stuff you do. But I think the album is real strong, and I think that's one reason the diversity in that album and in all the music you do made you a really good, fantastic headliner for a show like that, because you appeal to so many people, not only the people that like bluegrass and folk music, but also people who like good, solid blues like you can do, and also the rock and roll stuff too.
Well, you know, when you put the names like this is rock and roll and this is blues, you know, there are places where they all kind of merge together.
Fuse, yeah.
And that's the place where I like to stand.
Right.
Where it's all, you know, it's kind of hard to point and say this is this and but this isn't and stuff like that. It's music. It's good music.
Well, have you and the band got any immediate plans to do any more of these this summer? Is the summer basically
for a
tour?
We're going to play, you know what, I just realized I have played for a crowd of that size before, because I've headlined the Schaefer Music Festival. Now it's the Dr. Pepper Music Festival in Central Park in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And last year it was...
That's got to be gigantic.
Yeah, it was about 40,000 people
or
so. No, maybe not that. Maybe about the same, actually. I think the stadium holds 20... I don't know. I don't know the numbers. Somehow this seemed bigger today, but thinking about it, I'm not sure it was. I'll have to find out what the numbers are there, you know. But that's an enormous thing. So we're going to be doing that again this year, and a few of those.
Good. Sounds good. It was a pleasure to have you here in the Twin Cities, and come back anytime. I'm sure we'd love to see you and talk to you again.
I'll be back.
We really appreciate you coming out to KQ this afternoon, too.
Well, thanks for having me out.
Sure enough. Let's listen to a tune of yours off the new album, Bandit in a Bathing Suit. This is the David Brownberg Band.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.